This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
You want to see something really scary?
Nobody around in the end zone.
He didn't run the route.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Coming up, Colts tight end Tyler Warren. Basketball Hall of Famer Shaquille O'Neal. Academy Award winning actor Morgan Freeman. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. Hello, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance Audience. Hello, Disney Plus and ESPN, the app that you can get ESPN anywhere. Certainly in this time of potential disputes in certain spots of our television streaming landscape, just get the ESPN app, people. Everything ESPN is sitting right there.
Yes, sir.
YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Over 1,011,000 subscribers now and growing. We appreciate every last one of you who takes in our program, however you do. So the podcast, all 3 hours, available for you to take in whenever you want through your ear gate. Morgan Freeman and Shaquille O'Neal, hour three, back-to-back. Can't wait for that. Tyler Warren in 20 minutes' time. The Baltimore Ravens, I've been telling everybody for the last few weeks, don't count them out, and I wasn't even higher register about it. Also wasn't alone. I'm not sitting here pitching it as if it's my my sole idea. I mean, the number of Mike Tomlin never utilizes outside of the building chatter for his benefit, from what I'm told. Every single time when I say, hey, they say this, they say that, you're talking about that to your team, and his reaction is always, you know, what matters is inside our building. And for him to now start talking about what's outside of the building isn't consistent for a lot of what he's talking about. But hey, the Ravens are in the crapper. They're in the hole, but they're favorites to win the division despite being multiple games behind the Pittsburgh Steelers. You know, that is, you know, pretty offensive. But I don't know if he's going to use it against the Indianapolis Colts coming up. I mean, it's a big, huge game for the Pittsburgh Steelers because here come the Ravens. And the Ravens, Thursday Night Football was essentially about which team can utilize this five-day stretch to catapult their season in a different direction. Both the Ravens and the Dolphins coming off of rousing victories. The Dolphins in Atlanta, where they said, yeah, Kirk Cousins, glad that you're still in a Falcon for them as a backup, because they thought you'd be the perfect guy to keep around, and instead, one big fat zero. We played the best game all year. Complimentary football. Here we come. And then last night, the Ravens with Snoop Huntley. Hey, if we can just win this one, Lamar's coming back. And then who knows what we can do. They win that one. Lamar comes back and he throws for 4 touchdowns and no interceptions. And he does it with 5 or fewer incompletions. That's the 6th such career game for him, tying Peyton Manning for the most such games in the history of the National Football League. It's his 12th career game with no interceptions, 4 touchdown passes as well, period. That's tied for the 5th most games of all time. The only ones in front of him are named Peyton Manning, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Tom Brady. And, you know, it's no surprise that he does it against the Miami Dolphins because he loves torching them. 142.9 passer rating now in his 5 career starts against the Dolphins. Wow. I mentioned those 4 touchdown Jeez. Pass games. For him, 3 of those 5 career games that I had mentioned in which he's gotten it against the Dolphins, against whom he went 9 for 9 to start the second half. But really, we could keep on about Lamar and keep on about it. Say Derrick Henry as well, who now has 12,000 rushing yards and 100 or more rushing touchdowns now. 144th game of his career he did it in. That's the 5th fastest to that mark. 10 behind Adrian Peterson, 11 behind Emmett, 12 behind LaDainian Tomlinson, but 29 behind Jim Brown, who did it in 115 games. Look him up, kids. Can't believe I just said that, but it's true. And 100 or more rush yards in two of his last three games for Derrick Henry. But it's also the defense. I don't know if we have that particular information, but weeks 1 through 5 for this Baltimore Ravens defense, they gave up 35 points per game and 408 yards per game allowed. And the opposing first downs, the opponent's first downs per game, 24. Only two takeaways. That was bottom two in the NFL. In the last month, since week 6, 13 points per game. Almost 100 fewer total yards per game. 5 takeaways now. That's what we're talking about. Complimentary football. That's what coaches always talk about. And John Harbaugh's got to feel really good about where they sit right now. 3-5. 2 games in a row. Lamar is back looking like Lamar. And everything is almost like a reset button halfway through their season.
I said it's been a long journey, man. It's been a hard road, you know. And not just the not just the 30 days, but even before that, you know. And I'm proud of him. I'm proud of the way he came out and played, you know. And proud of the way Tyler played last week. Both those two guys played well. And T. Martin deserves a lot of credit. You know, he did a great job with those guys and Monk and the offensive coaches. I thought the game plan. I thought what we've done with the offense the last 2 weeks has been really, really, really good. Really, really excellent. So we got to keep building off that.
And they will. Any surprise of anything that I just said? It didn't look good, you know, in the first half overall, but the second half, they started looking like the Ravens that we've expected to see, which is beat up an opponent that's making mistakes and can have their will broken by someone like Derrick Henry and someone like Lamar Jackson. Finding Mark Andrews twice after the Dolphins made the mistakes, like fumbling inside their own 5-yard line, and also going for it on 4th-and-1 in Baltimore's red zone, only to have a false start, bring on a field goal attempt that they were trying not to take, and then have that field goal attempt go wide right, and then they march down the field and hit Mark Andrews for another touchdown. And Lamar, again, was brought up again about taking all the toys and funds and games out of the locker room. It was brought up again to Lamar, who, interestingly enough, wears a balaclava even in 70-degree Florida weather. It's amazing. I think he just likes playing and it hit it.
Yeah, I mean, it's do or die, you know, win or go home. And usually, you know, we start off winning games. And we never be behind, but right now we're behind, and we all got to step it up.
Lamar, I mean, did it feel like your guys' season would be over in any way, but you saying this is kind of do or die if you guys lost tonight?
No. Like I said, we locked in. You know, we knowing it's do or die. Got to go out there and play football. We can't worry about mistakes, you know, because mistakes happen. You're in the NFL. Things like that are going to occur, but we just got to move on and keep doing what we're doing.
Normally, again, a 3-5 record. I have it written down here since 1990, since the playoffs began to expand in 1990, just a 10.4% chance, just 10% of teams that started 3-5, made the playoffs, but usually that's a wild card conversation. The Steelers have the Indianapolis Colts at 7-1 coming into their house on Sunday. Tyler Warren, Penn Stater, is going back to the Keystone State to try and make the Steelers 500. Let's say that happens. It's just one game out for the Ravens. And if you look at their schedule, they have yet to play. I said it before. I'll keep saying it until I'm wrong. And I don't know if I'm going to be wrong. They have yet to play the Steelers, and they have yet to play the Cincinnati Bengals, who might start Jake Browning this weekend, which means if they do and they lose, let's just throw that out there, because the Bears are coming in, and the Bears are pissed, and the Bears might perform better than they did against the Ravens last week. The Bengals will then fall to 3-6, which means the Ravens have officially leapfrogged them. They'll be in second place if the Bears go into Cincinnati and win that game. And then you tell me, I said yesterday that it's going to be a while till I don't take the Ravens in the NFL game day morning picks competition at Minnesota. Who knows, right? Who knows what they're going to look like this week against the Lions Detroit. Let's see. As you know, I root for J.J. McCarthy, Kevin O'Connell, and those Vikings are likable. But we'll see what happens. Then at Cleveland, home for the Jets, home for Cincinnati on a Thursday night, short week. Flacco won a short week, but it was at home against the Steelers. And then there's the Steelers' first game. It's going to be at home to start the Sunday, December 7th at Cincinnati. That's one I'm going to circle right here, because Sunday, December 14th, when Joe Burrow went down, that was the game that everybody circled, saying 3 months from now, if it's just a three-month injury, he'll come back for that one. Oh. That might make things a little different. It might change the way things look, but there's a month and a half between now and that point. Home for New England is something that I'll have to consider, how both teams are playing at that point in time before I decide who's going, who I'm going to go with to win. But it's a home game for the Ravens. At Green Bay is a different story, and at Pittsburgh. But this is entirely possible for the Ravens to go on a run here, no doubt about it.
Rich, can I throw one thing at you? You've been calling what Lamar's wearing a balaclava.
Is it?
Now, I think the kids would call it a shiesty.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, just
appreciate that. Is hour two dressed as Cam Newton, TJ Jefferson chiming in?
Shout out to Mecca.
Okay, that's my take on the Baltimore Ravens. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. It's a Friday. It's time for What's More Likely. Hit it, hit it, hit it.
What? What's More Likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, Christopher, let's go for it.
Hey, everybody. How's everybody doing? Hey.
What's up, man?
You guys look great.
Thanks,
man. Let's get right to it. More likely team you have the most faith in to make the AFC Championship game.
Okay.
The team we saw last night, the Baltimore Ravens, or the team going into Pittsburgh, and the number one seed in the AFC right now, the Indianapolis Colts. Ravens or Colts? Who do you got the most faith in?
I'm going to surprise you on this one, since I just went on a take on the Ravens being set up. I will take the Colts.
Oh.
Because I think it's going to be in Indianapolis. And weird things happen for the Ravens in January. They just don't play clean games. They're always banged up. Something weird happens. And the Colts, I think, Jonathan Taylor versus Derrick Henry would be phenomenal in a game where Daniel Jones taking on a multiple MVP. But if that game takes place, and I just don't know. I mean, what if the Colts play the Ravens in a
wild card?
You know, no, it wouldn't be wild card, because I think the Ravens would win their division.
Oh, true, divisional.
But a divisional matchup. This could be the matchup to get to the AFC Championship game. Potentially, right? What if the Ravens finish fourth and the Colts finish first, and everything goes according to seed in wild card weekend? That's a possibility. I'm going to take the Colts. They are 7-1. They're playing the best football right now, so I got to go for that. They're not digging out of some massive hole where there's very little margin for error. What else you got over there, Chris?
More likely, guys, MVP candidate quarterback who wears number 10 to have the longest TD pass on Sunday. Jordan Love, Drake May.
Oh, why wouldn't I go for... I mean, Love, by the way,
those
missed a chunk yard. I get it. Listen, did you see the video, the NFL Films, Josh McDaniels?
So good.
Basically calling a play for May to hit booty in the end zone, and knowing that the way it was designed or the way it was set up or when he called it, essentially, I don't know how...
I think it was the formation and the way the motion was, okay, that the corner was going to
move in. And the minute that he was basically begging number 37,
move it,
he saw it, he goes, here it comes. Yep. But that just shows you that no matter how many times do you see a scheme planned, executed, and it works, but the quarterback misses the throw.
Sure.
It just shows you that May is right now, like, damn near automatic on these deep throws. So I'll go Drake May. Why not, man? Why not indeed?
That's fun. Credit to the wide receivers, too. That wide receiver room doesn't get a lot of love, and they're making a lot of plays for Drake May.
Patriot Honk has his moment.
Guys, fantasy, how about this one? The more likely fantasy disappointment. We know who we're talking about. To have more yards and TDs on Sunday, Brian Thomas Jr. or Ashton Jeanty? I have both of these guys, and they've been a massive disappointment. I'm not alone in feeling this way.
No, I have Jeanty in one league. I mean, he has amassed yards, but just hasn't popped it in the end zone or been consistent enough. Or, you know, I'll just go Jeanty. I'll go Genty. They're both coming off of byes, and I think Genty's going to be more healthy coming off of a bye. I mean, Brian Thomas left that field in Wembley holding his arm in a way that I thought this was not going to be possible for him to come back right now. But I'll just go with Genty because he's less – I mean, he's dependent on Chip Kelly to call his name more than twice in a row maybe, you know.
And now Travis Hunter out. Brian Thomas has an opportunity
here. But Brian Thomas is – dependent on a quarterback targeting him, and Genty just needs the offensive coordinator to target him. I'll take Genty, Chris.
Monster game in Buffalo, obviously. Chiefs, Bills, a couple of huge fantasy players, these home run hitters coming off of monster performances. Who's more likely to have the longest play from scrimmage? Rashee Rice, James Cook.
Interesting. I'll just go James Cook. How about that? I'll go James Cook. Rashee Rice is not really the field stretcher on that offense. He's more
of the get him open and let him go.
Yeah. Although he did score one last week going across the middle and just popping one in the end zone. James Cook's just hitting home runs though.
He really is.
He is home run hitting right now. So I'll go James Cook.
That could be a fun song, TJ. I am the Yak Man. Yak Man. Guys, the more likely result on Sunday that would surprise you the most. Chiefs blow out the Bills, or J.J. McCarthy beats the Lions on the road in his return.
I'll go J.J. McCarthy beats the Lions on the road. This is a tall order, Matt. It's a tall order. You know, the Vikings had coming off a mini bye. The Lions are just coming off a flat out bye. They're home. It's nuts in Ford Field. And J.J., welcome back. Aiden Hutchinson's been paid. As opposed to, listen, a Chiefs blowout of the Bills would be surprising. But then again, it would be just like, okay, the Chiefs are back. The Bills have got some sort of restructuring to do. They're in second place. Are they adrift? Are they really Super Bowl worthy? That would be a surprising development, but McCarthy winning this one would be surprising to me. As much as I'm hoping that's not the case, I want to see him perform well,
that'd
obviously.
Be awesome.
What else you got?
A few more. Trade deadline coming up next week. Who's more likely to be playing their last game with their current team on Sunday, Chris Olave or Breece Hall?
I'll go Olave. Breece Hall is not playing this week, but I understand what you're saying, that he'll have played his last game.
Yeah.
I'd go Olave. Although you just heard Tom Pelissero say that Mickey Loomis, the man in charge there in New Orleans, has a reputation for not wanting to trade anybody, and sometimes just hearing the name that's being asked will hang up. Just hang up the phone. I mean, if I treated you that way, we would be going to break literally right now. I'm just kidding. But we have to because Tyler Warren is sitting down right
now.
What else you got over there? You give me one more.
Last one. More likely to see this weekend, a one-win team upsets someone from Los Angeles or a World Series Game 7.
Oh, World Series Game 7. Come on now.
Saints and Titans.
What are you saying? Saints upset the Rams at home here up the road.
Or the Titans
upset the Chargers there. Or Yamamoto forces a Game 7.
Yeah.
Okay. We know what's more likely.
Titans beating the Chargers.
Exactly not.
Exactly not.
Exactly not. All right, let's take a break. Good. What's more likely, though, sir? Appreciate that.
Thank you, sir.
One of our favorites. I think we each have him in one of our fantasy
so
leagues,
teams.
Respectively. He has been dynamite for the Colts. Joining us next, Tyler Warren.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
With our radio audience presented by Progressive Insurance, we're talking to Tyler Warren of the Indianapolis Colts here on the Rich Eisen Show. Walk me through what your first conversation with Shane Steichen, your HC, was all about when you show up in Indianapolis outside of that phone conversation on draft night, Tyler.
Yeah, I think it wasn't anything, you know, special or crazy, right? Once you get here, you're part of the team. You're kind of have the same expectations as everybody, and that's just kind of how he treated me. And you know, there's a lot of stuff we do within our offense, really at all positions. So just having him trust me to do those things, and it's on me to prepare myself to be able to do it at a high level. And that's kind of everybody on the offense and how we've been operating.
Well, I'm just wondering about what he was telling you about his expectation for you or the way things might work out for you and how they have actually done so through 8 weeks of the NFL campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a expectation. Obviously, when you do, you know, use a pick on a player that high, you're expected to be able to make an impact. But I just kind of focused on, you know, doing my job and you know, whatever. He's been a great play caller. I think he's been one of the best probably in the league so far. So trusting him and playing within his offense has been really fun. I think it's a great offense really for everybody, but tight ends especially.
So do you have a chip on your shoulder because you weren't the first tight end taken in the draft, Tyler?
No, I mean, that wasn't something I was too worried about. It's still, you know, I wasn't in a bad spot by any means, and I was still very, you know, just happy to have the opportunity to play in the NFL, and I've been really excited to play for the Colts, and I love it here, so it's been great.
Okay, and so in terms of that, it's also not easy to be drafted to a team that's having a quarterback competition either. How were you able to navigate that throughout the summer about just – getting your game right while you were trying to figure out at some point who was going to be the one to consistently throw you the football?
Tyler. Yeah, I think it has its challenges, right? You're going to have two different guys, but at the end of the day, they're both two really good quarterbacks, and you can still, you know, get plenty of work in with both of them and get timing with both of them, like you said. But yeah, I mean, it might seem like a big deal, but really at the end of the day, it's two really good quarterbacks. They're going to do what they need to do, and the, you know, the top guy will win at the end of the day. But it wasn't too much of a problem during the summer, I'd say.
Walk me through your relationship with Daniel Jones, Tyler. What's it like? You know, my man.
Yeah, it's good. We've you know, gotten closer. He was actually, I met him on my 30 visit. I think he had just kind of gotten here when I was doing my 30 visit, and mm-hmm. I talked to him real quick in the cafeteria, but he's been great. And I think he's, you know, outside of football and the way he prepares, kind of the type of guy he is in the locker room and, you know, outside of the facility, hanging out, you know, having dinner, stuff like that has been awesome. He's been, you know, just a great guy to get to know.
Okay. I have follow-up questions on that. What preparations, how he goes about it, have you picked up on and say, I need to do more of that, or I need to do that, or I'm so glad I have been doing that already?
Yeah, I think just his routine and you can tell how prepared he is, right? Whether it's just him being able to go through the play sheet and knowing the kills, or, you know, what coverage he's expecting to look for, stuff like that. You know, Riley Leonard's another guy in that room that I think helps him out a lot, and a guy I'm closer with, and he just kind of tells me the stuff he does and just his daily routine of how much he's grinding in the film room and stuff like that. And I think it we respond well as an offense when you see, you know, your leader doing that every day.
And at dinner, Who picks up the check, Tyler?
It's usually a little bit of a rotation, right? Mm. Obviously, there's the rookie dinners that the rookies have to take care of.
Right.
I haven't had mine yet, but usually they'll rotate on who's paying.
What do you mean you haven't had yours yet? It's we're halfway through the season.
And yeah, training, I think, camp. They're loading up and saving for when the time is right.
You so be careful. You be careful. You need to have your head on a swivel that night, Tyler.
I don't have much of an option. It can be on the much.
I understand that. I understand that. But listen, if they're starting to order extra appetizers, going for the Wagyu, you know, instead of just the regular straightforward red meat, bottle of wine that might have an extra, might have a comma in the purchase price, you just got to keep. You got to be careful. Be vigilant.
I'll do my best, but we'll see how it goes.
You got to do it. You got to do what you got to do, huh? All right. And so and in terms of Daniel is he a practical joker? Who is it? What type of guy is he with you, Tyler? What is he?
I feel like we're somewhat similar. He's a quieter guy when you're around him. He's not going to, you know, make himself the center of attention when he walks in a room. But as you kind of get more comfortable around each other and the jokes start flowing, and he's a, you know, yeah, he makes jokes every now and then, just like all of us do. We had a really good relationship in the locker room, kind of as a whole team, and it's been really fun.
Okay, very good. Tyler Warren, a few minutes left with the rookie tight end here of the Indianapolis Colts and the Rich Eisen Show. Your front, give me your perspective of watching Jonathan Taylor run away from you Tyler. You're running a route. You might be in some sort of a shallow route, and then all of a sudden, or not even, you're blocking, and then gone. What's it been like for you to watch him at work?
Yeah, he's been awesome. You know, before the football stuff, just the type of person he is every day in the locker room, and his attitude is awesome. But he's been awesome to watch. There's times where I think there's no way he's going to turn the corner and, you know, make it up the sideline, especially in that last long when he had versus Tennessee. I thought there's no way he's getting around the corner, and somehow he manages and hits the top speed every week of whatever he hits. But he's been awesome. He's a great guy in the locker room as
okay.
well.
Okay, and he's a Big Tenner, right, Tyler? Big
yep.
Ten.
Yep.
They got a lot of Big Ten guys in that spot right now. You know, you and him, and obviously, you know, that's the home of the Big Ten championship and whatnot. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about what's going on in your alma mater right now, and how James Franklin getting fired after, you know, you and the team went as far as you did last year. 1-3-game losing streak, and see you later, it seemed like. What's your two cents on what's happening there, Tyler?
I think there is, you know, a lot of stuff going on in college football right now, and I got nothing but respect and love for Coach Franklin, and he did so much for me, and I loved playing for him. That was honestly the biggest reason I went to Penn State, was the, you know, play for him as my head coach. So I wish him nothing but the best, and, you know, look forward to see what his future holds. But yeah, I can only say good things about him and what he meant to me at Penn State.
No kidding. So that's why you went? What, he had you at hello in your living room or something like that, or he came and recruited you? Like, because I'll be honest with you, man, I'm not hearing anything similar to what you just said out of LSU for the coach they just let go, to be very honest, Tyler.
Yeah, I mean, no, I think just his whole recruiting process, you know, he talked about family, and I had some connections with people there to, like, really see if it was like that, you know, besides the recruiting, and it was. And me being there, it was that the stuff he talked about when he was recruiting. And yeah, I think he was just a real coach that meant what he said in the recruiting process, and I love playing for him.
And you're going back to the state of Pennsylvania this weekend. Is there any significance of you playing in Pittsburgh, Tyler? What's up?
No, I mean, it'll be interesting to see. Kind of, I'm sure there is a lot of Penn State, you know, people in Pittsburgh.
Oh, you're everywhere, but man. Come on now, don't be humble.
Everywhere. But knowing you know, the loyalty of the Pittsburgh fans, I'm sure it won't be
understood.
Too big of a deal. They're a great fan base, and that should be a fun environment.
All right, what it mean to this team to be 8-1? I mean, and just your head's not in the sand. You know, this is a conference that's been dominated by the Chiefs and how they've been playing. There's a lot of folks that are looking at the 7-1 Colts and going, yeah, but what would it mean for you to go into Pittsburgh, win this one, and be 8-1 moving forward, Tyler?
Yeah, I think it's really important, but I think it's more just because it's the next game we got, right? It's a long season, and you play a lot of really good teams. So I think taking it 1 week at a time and taking the wins however they might come, whether it is a, you know, 20-point win or you're winning on a field goal at the last second, you know, they both count for the same, and it's hard to win in this league. So I think just focusing on 1 week at a time and the opponent at hand is the biggest thing right now.
All right, Tyler. Everybody in this room has you in a fantasy league one way or another. You know, every last one of them. I could put them all on screen right now.
Yes, sir.
Can we get in the end zone? What can we do? Can we get in the end zone a little bit more is what I'm saying. What do you think?
I don't know if I can legally answer that question, so I'm going to have to.
I'll
do my best to make sure the team wins. I think that's all I can say to you with that question.
Okay. Our fantasy teams win.
Yeah,
which is,
that's good. What I'm saying is we're all Colts in this building right now because of you. You know what I mean? I saw the way you played last year, and I'm like, I got to have this guy on my fantasy team. Are we going to see a throw it? Are we going to see what else? What more can we see from you right now?
Well,
what do you think?
I made that one throw. I had to throw it away. So
okay, all right.
We'll see if there's any more. But that's all we got.
Okay, I don't want to get you in trouble. You're looking off to the side to see if there's any sort of playbook violations going on right now.
I don't have that, Rich.
Yeah, I know. I don't want to get you in trouble, Tyler. Do you got any Halloween plans tonight?
No. Probably, yeah.
No
trick or treating for me, so I'll probably just be at the house.
You could probably go as yourself. There's probably people in Indianapolis who are dressed as you, Tyler. You realize that, right? You could go as yourself and see how that works.
We'll see. We'll see if I see any walking around today.
All right. Are you in an area where there are trick-or-treaters? Can somebody end up ringing the Tyler Warren doorbell, opening up and getting some sort of fun-sized treat from Tyler Warren tonight? Is that a possibility for folks?
I think there are some families that live around me, so I might have to make a stop at the store on my way home today to make sure I'm prepared. And
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. Come on, yeah, you can't have some kid. What if some kid could be wearing an 84 Colts outfit, right? Can be just like that. This kid could come to the door. You can't be empty-handed.
Right.
You just can't. You got to help out.
That's why you turn the front porch light off, though, so they know.
Wow.
Come on now.
Full-size candy bars, too, Tyler. Come on. Don't be stingy.
And they know Tyler Warren lives there, so of course they're going to come visit.
Of course they're going to come visit. Yep. Last one for you. Did you go to Tight End University? Have you visited that at all? Did you go to?
No, I didn't get to go this year, but I know about it and all the stuff.
Have you met Kelsey? Have you met Travis?
No. I'm not.
We got to get you out and about. All right. Tyler, good to chat with you. Thanks for the time. Keep doing what you're doing. I look forward to more conversations with you. And again, I'm a Michigan Wolverine, so I am I'm part of the We Are this weekend. Can we get a win over Ohio State this weekend?
We can do whatever we need to do. So I'm rooting for my boys.
Let's go. We're all Tyler Warren and I'll say it out loud. We're all Penn Staters this week.
Wow, look at you. That's me every week.
Yeah. I know, that's you every week. Good to see you, Tyler. You be well. Thanks for the time,
sir.
Stay healthy.
Tyler Warren, everybody, getting ready to go to Pittsburgh and then getting his German all freshened up. Where he goes to Berlin.
Guten Morgen.
To take on the Atlanta Falcons. 844-204-RICH, number to dial.
I like Tyler Warren.
Imagine being a 12-year-old catcher in Little League, and Tyler Warden, who was probably like 6'2", 200 pounds, running you over.
For some reason, I blanked on the word mohawk with him. Could you imagine he's wearing a mohawk at that age, and he's sliding into home plate trying to take your 12-year-old out?
Like,
because he's playing like John Riggins.
Like, get out of here.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Love it.
When we come back, an NFL head coach has chimed in on the subject matter of Halloween.
Oh.
And your phone calls before Shaquille O'Neal and Morgan Freeman join us to finish up this Friday.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Here on the Rich Eisen Show.
I never pictured you as a roadie.
Everybody. Oh, man. Sonos are the speakers that Susie and I have all throughout our house. We love it. The studio quality sound makes you feel like you're right there in the stadium, whether it's for a game or a concert. It's amazing. The music sounds awesome. And it fills up every room with an incredible sound. You could zone your room, an office speaker, if you have one, or a kitchen, or a dining room, or a living room, or one of your kids' rooms. It's just amazing. Setup is easy. Just plug in, open the Sonos app, you're ready to go. Explore soundbar, speakers, and more at Sonos.com. Sonos, they look as good as they sound. Now listen. I am past the age of walking the streets with my kids for Halloween. My kids are now old enough where tonight there's parties.
Oh,
now.
Man.
Right now, what's Cage going tonight as?
Five and a half. One of the dudes in the K-pop Demon Hunter show.
Okay, good enough.
Yeah.
And he's with friends or walking around, or you're just going to walk around with him around a neighborhood?
We're going to walk around close nearby.
And I have been there and done that. You bet you have a roadie.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. You have a roadie. No question about it.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, as they get older, now it's like, got to have plans. Who's doing what? Where? The other? Oh, God. Chauffeuring.
I was going to say, are you driving around tonight?
It's all good. Happy to, like, I've got the best dad ever signed for a reason. Okay, you know what I mean?
Welcome to the party, pal.
I'm sure Susie's there somewhere saying, yeah, you're taking the lead, my ass. At any rate, listen. But when it comes to this show, I see you're in hour two of dressing like Cam Newton. You've got another one for hour three or not really?
It depended on your response. Like, hey, if you looked at me this time and went, okay, enough, then I would stop.
Well, why do I care? I mean, it's fine.
So I think I will have a
That's fine. I'm just glad you covered your legs this hour. Last hour, you had your legs all uncovered with boots.
Oh, my boots.
My goodness.
Got those boots from WrestleMania.
Honestly, like, you're like, waist up, you were Cam. Waist down, it was Magic Mike. I'm like, what's happening over there? Anyway,
oh, okay. I like what's going on.
I like what's going on. That's all good.
Compliment. Yep.
Yeah, I'll take that.
But you know, I'm here to conduct the business of the show, right?
That's why your name's
and I'm
the
always
cup,
concerned. Like 1 year, I think I dressed as Fatwa Larry David.
That year, we all of us kind of dressed up, and it was great.
It was great. It's fun. It's in the spirit of things. Yeah. I have a professional fear of a massive story breaking, and I'm dressed as Fatwa Larry David, and it's like. Or I'm conducting an interview. Like, for instance, Morgan Freeman's coming up, hour three. Why do I want to be dressed as somebody else? I'm interviewing Morgan Freeman, which is something that will last on our YouTube page. And that's why I don't do it. It's for professional reasons.
It's funny.
Yeah, but it'll be easily to find.
One day out of the October, year.
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm also conducting a business here. Okay. Is what I'm saying. You can have fun, and I'm not saying you can't do it. I mean, you're dressed as
I didn't dress up.
Jason
Aquaman.
Momoa, right? Aquaman. I like it.
I'm just saying, all your contemporaries have dressed up.
I understand that, and I think Matt LaFleur sums up my opinion of mixing dress up and business. As you know, the Packers are in front of everybody else in the NFC, taking on the Carolina Panthers, who are 4-4 at home and would love to put a Packer pelt on their wall. This is what he had to say about Halloween in Green Bay.
Since you didn't know what hat you had on, do you not know what your Halloween costume is going to be?
It's Halloween, huh? Got a big discussion with this with my assistant, Daryl. I was like, I don't give a shit if it's Halloween, all right? We're trying to win a game, period. So, well done, Wallers.
I believed him.
He must not have kids.
It's got nothing to do with it.
Well, I mean, he's
a National Football League head coach. It's a Friday in the National Football League. He's not playing dress-up.
I always thought you said that being the dad was more important than.
You know, I mean, it's not like he's going to go home and say.
He's got two kids.
Yeah, but he's not. It's not like he's going to go home to his kids and say, you know, I'm not going to allow you to have Halloween because we need to look at the all 22 together.
That would be great.
What if he does?
Plus, we all know he's if he's going as anybody, he's going as a water bottle.
True.
You know what I mean? This is a man who's all about hydration. We've seen that before. Green Bay, Wisconsin. That got off the plane. It's all about hydration. That's his first round draft choice.
You love this.
I mean, I noticed it too, and then Rich took the photo. I was like, what is happening right now?
I know. Because I knew Matt LaFleur was coming on, and I wanted to know if he was tipping his pick at the draft.
I go back and forth with, like, yeah, dressing up is super fun, and Halloween is for kids. Just kind of depends how.
I understand
it.
But I dressed as a banana, walking the streets.
Yeah, that would have been a scrap.
Like, I got into scrap.
But you interviewing Morgan Freeman as a banana is hilarious.
No, it's not. The first minute of the interview, Shaq's about to zoom in here. The first minute of the interview would be about I'm dressed as a banana, and then we'd get into it.
And he'd laugh, and it'd be funny, and he'd remember that day.
But then, you know, a celebrity true or false. We got a great celebrity true or false. There's something about Shawshank Redemption I've got planned for him. I don't think you even know, and you've seen that movie more than any other human being I know.
Yeah, I love that movie.
Okay, so why would I want that to be living on our YouTube channel forevermore with me dressed as something?
I think you take some of that stuff a little too seriously. Okay.
That's now, what if Shaq's in costume and you're not?
That would be great if Shaq's in costume.
Yeah. Okay.
That would be wonderful. I don't mind it. It's his business.
We're on Disney where the whole idea is dress up.
I understand.
Yeah, okay.
Christian in Toronto, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Christian?
He passed my hair.
Hey guys, happy Friday.
You psyched? Hey,
what up, man?
You psyched?
What's up, yo?
Are you psyched?
Yeah, I'm a mixture of psyched and nervous.
You know what we call that? In our household, we call it nervous-sighted. That's what we call it. You are nervous-sighted, which is great. It's a good feeling. It means you're alive. You're a fan.
It's interesting. I was at the watch party at the Rogers Center when they were playing in LA, and it was packed out. It felt like they were actually there. It was insane. The city's buzzing, and hopefully the boys can take this one today. It would be huge. I've never seen it before. So
okay, good. I'm glad you're excited.
So my question to you would be: I guess it's hard because tonight's game and possibly tomorrow's game would have an effect. But if you had to choose, who do you think would win the World Series MVP at this point?
Oh, it's easy. For the Blue Jays, it's Vlad. And for the Dodgers, it's Yamamoto. Certainly, if there's a Game 7, it's most likely going to be because Yamamoto's going to do it again to you and force a Game 7, and then it's and anything goes. And unless Game 7 is a walk-off home run by Freddie Freeman, maybe. I don't know. But it's not like anybody else in that lineup. It could be Ohtani. It could be. You know, Ohtani, was Ohtani even the NLCS MVP going into Game 4? Or it was just like that was one of the most amazing, or was it Game 4 or Game 5? I'm sorry if I'm screwing it up. It's the final game.
I'm not sure.
You know, I just don't remember. It was just such an amazing performance by him that it was just a wrap. But I think it would be Yamamoto. If he pitches another complete game tonight to force a Game 7, right? Don't you think?
Yeah, he's 12-1 on odds. It's Vladimir Guerrero is minus money, and then Shohei's like 3-1.
I don't know, Christian. That's my two cents on it going into Game 6.
It's going to be good watching with my dad. It's going to be a good moment for us.
Enjoy that. I hope it ends before 3 in the morning for you this time around. So there you go.
Hopefully.
It's Christian in Toronto, everybody.
I feel like it's over tonight.
You do?
Oh,
I do. I feel like they have all the momentum, and the Dodgers are just zapped. Mookie Betts doesn't get any hits tonight. They have no chance.
The Dodgers had all the momentum after Game 3.
No. Opposite. I feel the opposite of that.
Don't you put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby.
I don't know,
they're
man.
They're the older team. They were clearly worn out from the double game.
Pal, all they got to do is just score first. They don't even have to score first. They just need Yamamoto to do it one more time. Just one more time. Can you go to that well one more time and ask this red hot, unflappable star of a pitcher to say, do it again? Do it again.
Do it.
And honestly, that means their bullpen would be rested going into Game 7. Don't even just give me 8. Give me 7. Give me 8. Give me 7. Give me 8. So you put Sasaki in there to wrap it. And then force it to Game 7, and then it's all on the table. It's like Game 3. Every man on the roster is active and available and must be called upon at some point, more likely than not. So I would not call this thing over by any stretch of the imagination. That's the defending world champs in the other dugout with stars all over the place. Mookie is not performing well. I'm wondering if Roberts drops him to the lower third of the order. As you know, as we mentioned the other day, when you hit 130 in the World Series going into Game 6, you're normally dropped, or Game 5, normally you're dropped from second in the order down to 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah.
I mean, you drop from Betts 2 to 3 because he's still Mookie Betts, but I'm wondering if you just like, you know what, because he dropped Pajas straight out of the lineup. He's been a troubled hitter right now.
You bring Kike up.
Maybe you do.
Yeah.
He's put Kike second. I don't know. It'll be an interesting way to formulate the lineup. But it's not over by any stretch at all. Shaquille O'Neal coming up and then Morgan Freeman after him. What a third hour. We've been looking forward to it all week, and it's finally here.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.